So we're doing here now on page Hey Amad Aleph, 5a. Okay? Before we discussed a difference between the 2 days Rosh Hashanah and a regular 2 day Yom Tov that we make in the diaspora, that we make it 2 days because we're not sure which day was Yom Tov. We made the distinction because the reason we keep 2 days in the diaspora is because we're not really sure which day is Yom Tov. It's either one of them is Yom Tov. They're not both Yom Tov. So therefore, an egg, which is prohibited on the day that it was laid. So if it's talking about Yom Tov, regular Yom Tov, it would be permitted on the next day, on the second day Yom Tov. Why? Because either the first or the second day, only one of them is Yom Tov. They're not both Yom Tov. As opposed to Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara explained, even when they knew for sure that it's not Yom Tov, they still kept it as if it was a Yom Tov. So it was instituted by the rabbis, so therefore it's one long Yom Tov. An egg that was laid on the first day Rosh Hashanah cannot be eaten on the second day Rosh Hashanah. It's like one long 48 hours. It's not a second day Rosh Hashanah. It's 48 hours. It's part of the same Kedusha. That's what we learned in the Gemara last time. The reason was that we learned before, because in the Beis HaMikdash, why did they make this at the time? Why did they make Rosh Hashanah? When did they make it? Even though they knew it wasn't Yom Tov. So the Gemara tells us a story that the witnesses who saw the moon came after Mincha. They didn't expect them. And since they didn't expect them, they used the weekday song for the Korbanos. And then the witnesses came. So it turns out that they had the wrong song because it was really Rosh Hashanah. So they said, you know what, we're not going to take any more witnesses after Mincha. By Mincha, we need to know. But what happens if the witnesses came later on? So then we're still going to make it a holiday, but we're not going to accept them. We're going to make this day Rosh Hashanah, but next day Rosh Hashanah, that means, even though we know it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's still going to be Rosh Hashanah. But the whole reason for this was why? Was because they did the wrong song when they brought the korban. When they brought the korban tamid of the afternoon, and they didn't think the witnesses were going to come. So because they did the wrong song, they didn't want to have any more witnesses come then. So even though if they would allow for the witness, that day would be Yom Tov and the next day would be weekday. So, but they didn't allow them, they didn't accept them. But they really knew that day, they kept it still holy. And the next day was Rosh Hashanah. So we have here 2 days instituted by the rabbis, not because of a doubt, but just to keep both days. But what happens after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? So there's no... It's funny, we're learning it out of Tisha B'Av. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so there was no more an issue, you'll say the wrong song by the korban. There's no korban, right? Now, they did continue to receive the witnesses' testimony even after, that was until Hillel, as they instituted the calendar, that was still, so they still used to accept witnesses even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. But there was no more worry of saying the wrong song by the korban of the afternoon because there was no afternoon korban. So therefore, there was no reason to make the second day Yom Tov. They would accept the witnesses all the way till the nighttime. So there was not a problem anymore. So from that point on, Rosh Hashanah never was never really instituted to be a weekday, because they either they came or they didn't come. If they came, that was, they made it Chodesh. If they didn't come, then it was the next day. So there was, it turns out that the reasoning and the, what the rabbis instituted was no longer applicable, because there was no Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, since there is no longer that halacha, so what would be the status of an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? You can eat it in the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because it's no longer part of that special halacha that was instituted, that you don't accept the witnesses after Mincha. So that's why, Omar Rabbe Garasino. So Rabbe says like this, Mitakonas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'elach. From the time that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, and forth, and later on, what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai institute? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted to accept the witnesses all the way to the end of the day. He didn't stop taking the witnesses by Mincha, and because there was no reason to stop them, because there was no Korban Tamid, there was no Shir Shalyem the Korban Tamid. So therefore, that whole business that was specially for Rosh Hashanah no longer applied. Let's do the Rashi. And therefore, he says, Beitz Muteres, the egg would be okay in the second day, because it's no longer under that special rule for Rosh Hashanah. Says Rashi, let's look inside. Mitakonas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. From the time Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, what did he do? Shehechzir hadovor liyoshnoi. He returned this matter back to the old way, which means lekabel edusom kol hayoyim ulekadesh hayoyim. He took it back, made it back to the old days to accept witnesses all day, no longer only till mincha. Anytime the witnesses come, as long as it's still the day, they would make that day Rosh Chodesh. That would become Rosh Hashanah. So, since there was no longer that issue, Nimtzo She'ein Beis Din Oisim Shnei Yomim. So Beis Din never made, doesn't make 2 days anymore. There's no need for 2 days. Now, that was for the people who were there by the Beis Din. But people who lived a little bit further away from Yerushalayim or from the court where they made Kiddush HaChodesh, they didn't know. So they would do Baruchoykim, Ha'isim Shnei Yomim, the ones who are far, who they do 2 days, Ein Elam Sofik. They're not doing it because the rabbis instituted. That's just because they're not sure when Rosh Hashanah is. They don't know if it was sanctified, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, is on the 30th, it's on the 31st, they don't know. So, kishar yom tov shel golius. So these days are like all other holidays of the exile. Ubeitza shenolda bazeh muteres bazeh mimarovshach. An egg that was laid on one day, Rosh Hashanah, is permitted in the other day. Either way, because the chad minayu choil, one of them is weekday. It's just like a regular yontif, because Rosh Hashanah is either the 30th or the 31st. And we don't know, okay. But the egg was either laid on a weekday, so then you can eat it on the second day. And if the first day was Rosh Hashanah, then the second day is a weekday, so you can eat the egg chad minayu. Now, Rav and Shmuel, they said, no, you still can, by Rosh Hashanah. When was Rav and Shmuel talking about? They weren't talking about the time of the Beis Hamikdash. They were talking in their day. It was way after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Rav and Shmuel both said that an egg on Rosh Hashanah that was laid on the first day is also the second day. Matter of fact, we hold that too. We keep Rosh Hashanah as one long day. But the problem with Rav and Shmuel, what are we going to do about the Mishnah that says that there was no longer one day? That's stop that special takona. Well, Rav Shmuel Kashi Masnisin is difficult to Mishnah. The Katoni, the Chazar Adover Liyeshnei. Because the Mishnah says that things went back to its old case. And just like in the olden days before the Takona, an egg that was laid the first day could be eaten the second day. And they say that it's Osir. Okay, anyways, so Rav says, after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'eilech, beitza muteres, he says the egg is permissible. And he brings down the Tanan. Because it says in the Mishnah, Shachora Beis HaMikdosh, once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, sheyiu mekablin edus ha-chodesh kol ha-yom. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that they should accept the witnesses for the month, the entire day. Doesn't stop anymore by mincha till the end of the day. And therefore, the egg is going to be permitted because it's like a regular 2-day yomtiv. If you don't know, but you can eat the egg and the next day yomtiv. There's no yoy ma'arichta, there's no halacha anymore. That's what the Rabbah is challenging Rav and Shmuel, who said that an egg on Rosh Hashanah, and again, they were talking about present, their time, that it's also the second day. Amale Abaye, so Abaye says to Rabbi, Bo Rav Shmuel da Amri Tarvayu, Beitza Asura. How could you, Rabbi, say that it's permissible? But they both say that the egg is also. You're saying that after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the egg is permitted. But Rav and Shmuel both say that it's also. So Rabbi answers Abaye Omar Lei. So Rabbi says to Abaye, Amina l'cho ano Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I am telling you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's a Tana. And you're telling me Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel Amiroyim. They can't argue on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'm telling you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that it's no longer a takone de Rabbonon. And since it's no longer a takone de Rabbonon, that's why it's permissible. So why are you telling me that Rav and Shmuel say that it's also? And the Gemara asks, well, Rav and Shmuel, Kashi must listen. But l'chayre, according to Rav Shmuel, we have a problem with the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah taka says that there's no longer a takana. Why do Rav and Shmuel prohibit the egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah? And the Gemara says, Lo kashi, it's not a question. Holon v'holuhu. Lon, this is to us, to the people of Babel. Rav and Shmuel were in Babel. In Babel, an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But in Israel, it's permissible. Why? Because in Israel, there was a difference. Because in Israel, those who make, if they make one day Yontev, there was a change took place. Because after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, we're going to accept the witnesses until the night time or till the end of the day. So they had Rosh Hashanah one day. The people that knew, they had Rosh Hashanah one day. But the people in Chutz Loretz, they never knew when Rosh Hashanah was. So we always kept 2 days. So let it be that in Rosh Hashanah, that in Eretz Yisrael, the reasoning, it changed. In Eretz Yisrael, 2 days were done by decree of the Rabbanon at some point, and then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban, it no longer existed, so there was a change. So we don't aser an egg that was born on the first day, second day. But to the people in Chutz Loretz, it never changed. Let's look inside. Holon v'holuhu, Zokt Rashi. Luhu, lon means to us, to the people of Babel, where Rabbi Shmuel said that it's Osir. And holuhu, that's to the people of Eretz Yisrael. So, which means, Lebnei Eretz Yisrael, Sha'isim Yoim Echad. The people in Eretz Yisrael, they made one day, it's muteres. It's not permitted. An egg was laid the first day, it's muter the second day. Abo lididan b'nei goylo, but to us, the people of the exile, asur, it's prohibited. Why? Sha'arei adayin onu oisim shnei yomim. We still make 2 days. Because we don't know when Rosh Hashanah really is. V'idenu ki batchilo, it's still the same as in the beginning. B'pnei oisa takona rishoyno, we still keep it because of the first takona that said that you cannot have it the second day, because it might be Rosh Hashanah for the first institution that they entered takona. Lo mipnei safek hilkach. So we always made it 2 days, and the reason we're making it 2 days, our reason didn't change. We're still making it. The rabbi said that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. That's the institution of the Rabbanah. Not from the Rabbanah. Not a suffix. Hilkach. Hoyil v'loy poskul me'etzlinu. Mishi yizchalmu. Since we never stopped keeping it 2 days from the time we started. Ein lahokil v'loy mar'ei minogenu zeh. We cannot be lenient to say, well, this custom is mipnei takana reshoina. It's not why we're doing 2 days, because the rabbis instituted the Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. El mipnei ha-sofik, now it's a sofik. Ubeitom muteres, the egg should be permitted. Ho lo yamrin, that we don't say. The kivon de loy poska oisa takona me'etzleinu shona achas. That takona never stopped, even for 1 year. Lasis yoim echad, to do it 1 day. Adayin b'yisureinu ha-rishoinu amadnu. We're still standing in our first prohibition that made it in 1 day. Liyosom kiyoyim aruch, like 1 day. It stayed. Nothing ever changed. In Eretz Yisrael, in which they make it 1 day, because they know when Rosh Hashanah is, so over there it changed. An egg that was laid on the first day can be eaten the second day. But to us, we still have the original takana. It's one long day. The egg that was laid the first day of Rosh Hashanah is asur. That's the answer that the Gemara gives over here. But Rabbi Yosef Omar, he disagrees on the premise of Rabbah. In Eretz Yisrael itself, Rabbah says you can eat it, right? He says no. He doesn't agree, even though they changed the rules that you could accept the witnesses until Ma'ariv, until the end of the day. But we're still not going to allow you to eat the egg. Rabbi Yosef Omar, af mitakon das Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'eilach, even after the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that you should accept the witnesses all day, still, Beitza Asura, the egg was still going to be Asur. Why? But there's no longer the problem. He says an interesting reason. The reason is, why do you want to permit the egg? Because we no longer have the old gezeira, because there's no to worry about. But we have a rule that if takona was made by a minyan. A minyan means how they used to pass the rules in the olden days. They put it up for a vote. So what was the vote that the rabbis put it out when they made the takona? What was the vote? The vote was an egg that is laid on the first day Rosh Hashanah cannot be eaten on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the rabbis made a takana, it's one long day. So it was something that was voted on. Just because we changed the timing that you could accept him, doesn't change the vote. We still are not allowed to do it because we voted on it. Let's look in Rashi. And we're going to need to take this apart because we see they voted on it and they still accept the witnesses. Let's see Rashi. Habidover Shebiminyan. Beitza zu ne'eseres b'kibbutz chachomim. This egg that was prohibited, that was laid on the first day Rosh Hashanah, that it was prohibited the second day Yad Rosh Hashanah, that was in a gathering of the sages. They counted on it. Shenimnu v'gomru la'asoysam shnei yomim kedusha achas. They counted and they decided to make these 2 days one kedusha. Im loybo eidim v'fnei mincha. If Eidim didn't come before mincha, they said you cannot eat this egg, because 2 days kedusha. That's what they decided. B'chol ha'oisim shnei yomim machmas kein osu, and everybody who did two days, did it because of this, because of the takona. Shema loybo Eidim lebeisdin kamu kana mincha, because they didn't know, maybe Bezdin didn't come before Mincha, and therefore the reason why they're keeping 2 days is not because of a suffix, which day is, because they don't know whether the witnesses came before Mincha or not. So since this was counted on, v'chol dover shebeminyan tzorich minyan achar la'atireh, if an item was counted on, you need another count to permit it. So the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not bring a count this halacha. Tzorich minyan achar sheyimnu loch v'yatiru. They need to count and didn't permit it. Since the egg was prohibited by a count, you need a count to permit the egg. But this whole piece doesn't really make sense, really. It doesn't fit that Rashi brings down the Gemara. The rabbis did not make a count. They did not make a decision about the egg. What was the rabbi's decision? They decided about not accepting the witnesses after Mincha. That's what it was. Automatically, the Gemara, Rashi says, Ulekam parchinon, the Gemara asked, Beitza mi istare b'minyan, was a egg then prohibited by counting? Did they count to say an egg is also? V'loy loy nimnu elo al kabolas edus. They were only counted that when you should accept witnesses. And in that part of it, ubahu chazor barab yechnevi tiroi. And that part of it, Rabbi Yochanan retracted, and permitted it, because he says that you can accept the witnesses all the way to the nighttime. So it's not about the egg. So if you're allowed to accept the witnesses till the end of the day, why should the egg be osur? There's no rabbinic takon over there. But before we're going to challenge this in the Gemara later on, the Gemara now wants to say, learn out, where do we know this? Basically, we're saying, if the rabbis come and decided a certain halacha based on accounting, they took a vote, and they took accounting, even if their reasoning is no longer there, you can't say, oh, the reasoning is no longer there, so it's permitted. You need to have another count to say that it's okay. And Rav Yosef says, how do I know this? Where do I know this from? Where do I know this? No, I mean Allah. So, Trashi, but where do I say this? The chol dovor haneser b'minyan tzorich minyan achar lahatirei. How do I know that everything that has been prohibited because there was a count for it, that requires another count to permit it? Now, we're not challenging the first one. We're just saying that the reason why the first one counted no longer exists. He says no. Even if the reason of the first one no longer exists, that's not a reason to permit it. You need to specifically count to permit it. Vafilu ira dovor sha'ata yochel lohiris boy heter v'leimer. Even if something happens that you can say, you know what? It's permissible. And say, aim takonas minyan harishonei medes, that the first counting, their decision when they voted on it, no longer stands. The circumstances, the situation changed. It no longer stands. Kihocho, as in our case. Because in our case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai changed the halacha, changed the fact. Still, afilu hochi osur ad sheyatiruha, still, it is osur until they'll permit it befeirush bekibutz chachomim, in the gathering of the chachomim. Just because you don't have the reason is not a allowance to change the halacha. You need the halacha. How do I know it? So it says, diksiv. This is after Matan Torah and Pasik in Devarim. The Pasik says, Leich emoir lohem, shuvu lohem le'oholeich. God had to specifically say, Moshe, go tell them, go tell the Jewish people, go back, return to your tents, return home. Basically, return to your spouses. Before Matan Torah, 3 days, he told them, do not come close to a woman. They were supposed to be separated for 3 days. After Matan Torah was over, he told them, go tell them to go back home. Go back to your spouses. Now, the whole reason why, we'll see, the Gemara will elaborate. The whole reason why the 3 days they were supposed to be separated was because of Matan Torah. So logic dictates that once Matan Torah is over, then there's no longer prohibition. Yet, we can't learn like that. We have to give them a special instruction. Go tell them, go back home. Lechem or lehem, Later on, he explains how does he learn it out from here. Later on, he explains in the Gemara how he learned this out. But I'm telling you now, the way he learns it out is because we find that he had to specifically tell them to go back home to their spouses, even though it was self-evident because the reason no longer existed. That means when the reason stops, doesn't change the halacha. You still need a special room. Wait a minute, I have another proof. The Gemara is going to explain this too. During the time of Matan Torah, nobody was allowed on the mountain. Not people, not animals. But the Pasuk says in Shmos Yutes, when you hear a long yovel, a long blow, a long sound of the shofar, then you can go up to the mountain. Again, same issue. The whole reason why the people, the animals, were not allowed to go on the mountain was because of Matan Torah, because the divine presence was on the mountain. It therefore follows, once the divine presence is no longer there, there's no longer a prohibition. But say no. You have to tell them befedish. We need a special permission. It doesn't just become permitted on its own. And yet we have another proof. Utanan. The Gemara, Rashi says, V'tanya, it's supposed to be V'tanan. And it will also have in a Braisa, in a Mishnah, Nami de Tzorich Minyan Achalatire. You find it also in a Mishnah that you need another counting in order to permit it. And here we're going to get involved in another halacha. We're just trying to bring out one word over there from that Mishnah, but we're going to go through the Mishnah already because the Mishnah is quoted over here. So you know the first 3 years it's Orla. And the fourth year, you have to take the fruit and bring it up to Yerushalayim. And the Torah also gives you an option. If it's too difficult to bring up all the fruit of Yerushalayim, the Torah gives you an option to exchange the fruit for money and bring up money in Yerushalayim. Don't have to bring the fruit itself. And then in Yerushalayim, you use the money to buy food over there in Yerushalayim. So, Kerem Revai. Shamro Torah. The Torah says, Kodesh Hilulim. It is holy praise. So we learn from this, V'gamrinon Kodesh Kodesh M'maiser Sheni. We learn Kodesh Kodesh the way it's by the second tithing. Iksibbe Kodesh also is Kodesh. Over there it says, B'chol Maiser Ha'oretz Mizer Ha'oretz Mipri Ha'etz V'goymer, etc. In Perek Chof Zayin. So, what do we learn from there? She'tzorich la'alis ha'pedash li'Yerushalayim. Either you bring up the fruit to Yerushalayim, or lifteisim, or you can redeem it. Ulahalis adomim liYerushalayim, and to bring up the money, if you redeem it, you bring up the money to Yerushalayim. However, the rabbis wanted the people that live nearby Yerushalayim, within a 1 day's walk, they wanted them actually to bring the fruit. They didn't want them to bring the money. They wanted Yerushalayim to be full with beautiful fruits. That would be decorating all of Yerushalayim with the fruits that people are bringing. If it's only 1 day's walk,
you should trouble yourself. Tiknu chachamim, and the chachamim instituted the mahalich yom echad lechol tzad, a day's walk to each direction. Shelo yivduhu, don't redeem it. El ha'peiris atzmon yalim, you bring up the fruits themselves. The yochlam shom, you eat it in Yerushalayim. Don't redeem it. Kedem mefarish lekamon, as the Gemara later on explains, kedei la'ater shuki Yerushalayim ba'peiris, in order to adorn these markets of Yerushalayim with fruits, everybody should bring their beautiful fruits. That's why the rabbis didn't want you to redeem it. If it's only one day travel, you have to bring them. So the Gemara says, Kerem Revai, Hoya Oilel Yerushalayim Halach Yamechad L'chol Tzad. You needed to bring it up to Yerushalayim. If it was one day's distant, you have to bring each direction, you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara, the Mishnah says the boundaries. V'zui t'chumo. What's the boundaries of one day? How far are we saying it? What is the boundaries? Eilat min hadorim. Eilat from the south. Akravas min hatzofen. That's from the north. Akravas. Lud min hamayrim. Lud from the west. And Yarden min hamizrach. And Yarden from the east. These are the, in between these places, from these places, you must bring the fruit. You can't redeem it. That's the institute by the rabbi. So Ula said, other people said that Rabbi Bachona said the name Rabbi Yechonon. Matam, what's the reason? Kedei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim ba'pedus, in order to adorn the streets, the markets of Yerushalayim with the fruit. So they wanted the people to actually bring the beautiful fruit to Yerushalayim. Okay, that's the mission. Then we see in Abraisa, Vetanya, we learned in Abraisa, Kerem Revayi Hoyi Loi L'Rabbelezer B'Mizrach Lud. To the east of Lud, there was an orchard that was the fourth year, which was owned by Rabbelezer. Now, being in the east of Lud, since Lud is to the west, if it was east of Lud, which means that it was within one day's walk, right? So technically he had to bring it, if Lud is to the west and this is to the east of Lud, that's to Yerushalayim. So technically he had to bring it to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says this was Bitzad Kfar Tevi, so on the side of the village of Tevi. B'mizrach Lud, Zokt Rashi, Hainu bein Lud l'Yerushalayim b'toich mahalach yoyim. This was in between Lud and Yerushalayim. It was within a walk distant. Do amrin on Lud b'toich mahalach yoyim min amayrim. Because Lud to the west of Yerushalayim is one day. Nimtzo mizracho. So it turns out that the west of it is bein Lud l'Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara Rashi just says, Beketzad mevorchim, brochas daf lamad hey, yesh plukta, there's a disagreement. Chad toni neta revai, v'chad toni kerem revai. Whether it's a planting of the fourth year or an orchard, the Gemara discusses it in all of the shas. One says neta, one says kerem. But here, brings down kerem revai. In the tzad kvar tevi, in the side of kvar tevi. So he had a problem. So technically, what is he supposed to do with the fruit? Can't exchange it. It was a trouble for him. It was difficult for him. So what did he want to do? Ubikesh lafkirilani. He didn't want to bother bringing it. So he wanted to make it ownerless, make it hefker, let the poor people have it, and he won't have to schlep. Lafkir la'anim, to give it up to him, you know. Sheyel katu haim, let them collect it. The alu Yerushalayim, let them bring it up to Yerushalayim. V'yachlu sham, and let them eat it there.
Rashi explains, Shahoya Olof Toirach Lahalis Shoma Peris. It was a trouble for him to go and bring up the fruits all the way to Yerushalayim. It's too much for him, so he wanted to give it up.
Amru Le Tamidov, so his students told him, Rabbi, Kvar Nimnu Alecho Chaveirecho.
Your buddies, your friends have already counted Vehetirua, and they permitted it.
Which means, here we're talking about in the times and his time, the time of Rabbi Lezer, that was already after the Beis Hamikdash. So there was no reason to adorn Yerushalayim. The whole reason, when the Beis HaMikdash was there, the Oyla Regal used to come up. He wanted to have all the fruits over there in Yerushalayim, but there was no more reason. So he says, your friends have already permitted it. Now, the fact that he says they counted on it means that you need another count. You cannot just permit it, because why can't you just say logically that the reason is, logically, you can say that why can't we just say logically there's no Beis HaMikdash, so there's no point in bringing up the fruits to Yerushalayim. There's no point. He says, no. He says clearly, he says, Rabbi, kvar nimnu alecho chaveirecho. Your friends have counted. They took it to a vote and they permitted it. So you don't have to be making hefker. You can just go ahead and redeem it and bring it up. Now this is an interesting halacha though. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, do we still have to bring up to Yerushalayim? So Rashi says yes. Nimla alecha chaverecha veitirua livdoisoi ulahalos domov. To redeem it and to bring up the money to, we don't need to anymore bring up the fruit itself. This was already after the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban. So why do we even have to bring up the fruits? Are the fruits after exile, are the fruits still obligated to be brought up? Do they have the Kedusha? And the Gemara says, Kosavri, they hold Kedusha Rishoyna Kitcha L'Shaito V'Kitcha L'Osilovei. That when it first became Eretz Yisrael, it stayed that way. So even after the Jews were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, it's still holy. But Tzorich L'Halis HaPedes HaAdom, you still have to bring up the fruit or the money. So therefore, but they told him that no need to make it hefker, Rabbi Lazar. They said you can just exchange it and bring it up, because they made already accounting and they allowed this. Who's your friends? Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. So again, what do we see in this statement? That Omer Lo Tamidov, that what? Time of the Nimnu. The whole reason why he says that they permitted it is because they counted. They put it to a vote. Hole Nimnu. But if they wouldn't vote on it, Loi, then you would not be allowed to. You would not allow to be redeeming it. There's no more reason. So Simon, you need a second minion to go ahead and permit it. Time of the Nimnu Hole Nimnu Loi. Even though automatically we don't have the first takana there. In other words, the whole reason lechatchila that you have it brought to Yerushalayim no longer exists, because the hokidei later shuk Yerushalayim, the whole reason was to decorate the marketplace in Yerushalayim. Given the Chorva, once it's destroyed, Madlonu La'atra L'tzorech HaNochri, what benefit do we have to decorate it for the Goyim? So the reason automatically stopped. So why do we need a reason to permit it? You still see, you still need a count, you need a vote. There's a simon that you can't just allow it by saying, well, the reason no longer applies, and that's why it's okay. You need specifically a vote. So we had it from three proofs. Two psukim and this Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to explain now why we need all these psukim. And first, what's the meaning? First, my ve'omer. What is their omer? Which means the Gemara wants to explain how do we learn it and why do we need two places to learn it from. And actually three places. We're going to explain this whole piece. My ve'omer, kloimer, to say. Ketzad, we're not just asking about the omer, we're asking is Ketzad onru lemeidim min ha-mikra harishon. How do we learn from the pasuk, the first one? What do we need the two psukim? Michdi, let us take a look. Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Hayu nechayim l'shloishis yomim." Be ready for 3 days. Al tikshu al isha. Don't come close to a woman, meaning stay separated before matan Torah. After matan Torah, the pasuk says to them, why do we need that pasuk? Go turn to your tents. Rashi, kach lomad min harishon. So learn from the first one. Michdi, ksiv hayu nechoinim l'shloishes yomim al tikshu elisha. Says, be ready for 3 days. Don't come close to a woman. Umemele ishtaru b'tashmish lachar shloshu yomim shekiblu as a Torah. So automatically they have been permitted to cohabit after the 3 days once they receive the Torah. So the question is, lama leile meheder v'lemiten lehu rishus? Why does he have to go give them again permission, loshu l'olechem, to go back to your tents, Hainu Tashmish, which means to cohabit? Why does he have to tell them? Shmamino, so we see. Kol dovor shebeminyan, tzorech minyan achlatire. Anything that was with a count needs another count. What's the count over here? Here it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the same idea. Shmamino. Hoyil v'kutche brichuhu osar. It was Hashem, blessed He, who prohibited it? He himself needs to very specifically permit it. So that's the same thing for anything that was the rabbi voted on, you got to unvote it. In this case, it's the Eibishter. So Hashem made it one way and then he has to permit it. So what do we need the second pasuk? Because maybe you're going to argue that wasn't just to allow them to be two together. Maybe there was a mitzvah, that was the mitzvah of Ona, that they needed to, it was a mitzvah to be together. Maybe this is not to teach us to the halacha, maybe we can't learn the halacha from there, that you need it permitted, because this wasn't permission. This was a mitzvah. Kloimar, to say, Ukrod Mishoicha Yoil, the Yol of Tanimane, the Pasik, the second Pasik, that from Mishoicha Yoivul, when the Yoivul is blown, extend the blow that the Tana learns, Lahochi Hodor Bey, the Yol of Mahosom. That's why he has to learn from there, the Hochi Kamalach, because this is what the Tana is telling you. If you're going to say this pasuk, go back home. Lovely mission, Tarshmish. That is not to allow for
cohabitation, the ha memela mishtariya. That is automatically permitted. Elo, the reason was litzavoisom. That was a command. Loshu b'mitzvus hamelach. This was a to go home. This was decreed a mitzvah of the king. Al korchom. It's not an optional. Shaloi legroyes einus neshesayim. Not to diminish of the time for their wives. So that's why we need another pasuk. So we don't have a proof from the first pasuk. Toshma, come, I will have another pasuk. Yeah, hello? Yeah? 8:10. I'm finishing up my class now. I'm going to try, yes. Be ready. Goodbye. Toshma, b'mshecha yevul heimayala behor. That's why we bring the second pasuk. Toshma, mehochal. So now we can learn it from this pasuk. The pasuk is b'mshecha yevul. When the blow, the shofar blows sheyimshech, that you stretch it. And the one who's blowing will prolong the sound, like one who gives the last blow, gives a long blow. So that means Mashaycha Yevul. Loshen Achar, another language, Mashaycha Yevul, means he stops. Once he stops blowing. In the Mechilta it says when it stops blowing. Or in either event, Migdi, why do we need a posik? Ksiv, the posik says, Gamatsoim abokar yura mulahoro. Hahu, that also the sheep and the cattle shall not be by up to the mountain. So, b'mshecha yechlo yavol lomoli. Why did the posik have to say, when the trumpet blows or stops, that they could go up? It's automatically, they should go up. Migdi, ksiv beluchas achreinus. By the second luchas, when the Ebeshe gave the luchas, the second luchas, it says, the ish loyali imoch begoymer. This is in Shmois Lamedalet. Nobody should go up with you. B'seifa dekro yolif. So from the end of the pasuk, we learn out when it says el mul ha'or ahu, that we learn out kol zman shehu b'avias kedushosei. While the mountain is in its status of kedusha, Shashchina olov, the divine is on its awesome. Aval nistalik shchina mutar. But once the shchina left, it's permissible. We don't need a pasuk to tell you that. Because the pasuk said, Mulor, shamina memela. So this is something that we know on our own. We don't need a pasuk for that. So why does he have to mention that permission? That is by the first luchas it says. That the shechina will leave, they will go up. The Shekhinah never left the mountain from the time of Matan Torah until the first of the month when the Mishkan was built. That was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And until the 20th year Shana La'onam, B'hoye Le'ilmeid Heter K'shemistalik Melmul Haorahu.
You know what? I'm going to leave this this Rashi for next time. Just because I have to go now. So I'm going to leave it over here, and we'll continue explaining. We're in the middle, trying to explain the idea how anything that has a special instruction, even though the reasoning goes away, you need to have it very specifically telling us that you should you allow it. Other than that, you're not allowed to do that, and that's the reason why you would do that. Anyways, I got to run pick up also my grandson for the minyan, so I'm going to go now. Everybody have a good day, a good week, and an easy fast for Tisha B'Av. And we'll see everybody in Mitzvah Shem next week on Tuesday. Thank exactly you, the time I'll text you before.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.